You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, we're live.
We're live, pal.
So sorry for the delay, everyone. We had a little bit of a miscommunication where we had two streams set, and one of them was private and one of them was not. But, of course, this is the non-private one that you all have been waiting for. I can't see the comment section. I'm sure Casey can. And people are probably like, someday they'll be on time. We thought we were going to be on time. We even said, wow, we're going to go live on time this time. But then guess what happens? It was a miscommunication. So we're 5 minutes late, 6 minutes late. Yeah, see, there you go. Matt Evans, how many minutes late today? We're actually on time. We just went live on the wrong stream, so we're starved. We're gonna redo all the introductions. We're gonna start with, we have two Alexes. I'm trying to remember what I said in the previous introduction. We have two Alexes today. We have Cool Alex and Regular Alex, or Uncool Alex, Unleaded Alex, Canadian Alex, Bootlegged Alex, whatever you want to call him. So I'm gonna start with Unleaded Alex. How's life up in Canada?
Jose, I can't lie to America. We had the most hilarious witty banter on the private stream. It would be disingenuous to try and repeat it, so I'll just say, sorry guys, you missed out. You missed out already on the best part. Well, no, the show's only going to get better, but you missed out on a hot, hot start to the show. We had some hilarious witty banter. We had a bunch of two Alex jokes, and there's some jokes about Arizona, and it was Alex Savas' birthday yesterday. That's the most important thing. I think that needs to not be lost.
Okay, Alex Savas, it was your birthday. You peed in the pool. All right, next story.
Old news. Anyway, of course.
Everyone in the comments, please wish happy birthday to Alex Savas. Yeah.
And happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are watching this, because I'm sure there's one or two. But Casey's up to good in Englewood. AK Lee is still stuck in Canada, but that's nothing new. It was Alex's birthday. Arizona has a crazy amount of coronavirus positive tests. And there's your witty banter for the day. I'm Jose. We got two Alexes. We got Casey Lydon. Esther's probably somewhere in the background, too. Questions you can ask. Why did I say it like that? You can ask questions on Twitter or the site on MMAFights.com. Use hashtag the A side. You know the rules. Casey, what's our first question? I just want to hop right into it since we're already late.
Please,
questions
let's
you
please.
Can ask. Answers we give. Thanks. Curious on from Joey Jiu-Jitsu, MMA Triple J. Curious on hashtag the A side. Opinion on Mike Perry going with no coaches in his corner, especially in the Apex where fighters have said they were able to hear their coaches telling them what to do. So regular Alex, I'll start with you since you look puzzled. I'm sure you've heard the tale. Mike Perry is not bringing any coaches or his old coaches to corner him against Mickey Gall at UFC Vegas 4 at the UFC Apex this weekend. Instead, he is just bringing his girlfriend. So your thoughts and opinions on Platinum Mike Perry.
Yes, and just to provide a little more background for people who don't follow the As the World Turns ongoing drama of Mike Perry's life, we are not talking about the Platinum Princess. I think remember
that was his wife.
Yes, well, that was his wife. I mean, and then unfortunately, of course, that now his ex-wife now. Casey, what's her Danielle? What was her name?
I forgot her last name, but it was Danielle.
Well. The former Danielle Perry, I suppose, now. So we are not talking about her. He has a new girlfriend. So if you want to know all about that, follow Mike Perry's Instagram. He's young and once again in love. And he has said his girlfriend, yes, will be the only person in his corner. He says it's all he needs. What is my opinion? I think it's ridiculous, of course, as I think many things that Mike Perry does. So really, I might be the wrong person to ask. I don't find anything this guy does amusing or beneficial to his career. But again, hey, I'm not in the UFC. He's got a bunch of good performances. So, I think it's absurd. I think he needs to have actual coaches. It's a tough fight too. Mickey Gall. It's not some guy he's gonna walk over. There's no one at this level he can just walk over. So, no, absurd.
Cool, Alex. Your thoughts on Mike Perry only having his girlfriend corner him?
I'm living for this. Like, I honestly, this is what I'm so excited to see this weekend. I don't care about the main event that much. I really just want to see how this plays out. I mean, he did say that she's not going to be like coaching him. She's just there to have like the best seat in the house, I guess, he wanted to put on a good show for her. So having absolutely no coach, that's a risk, but maybe not. I mean, maybe sometimes, I feel like sometimes if I was in the octagon and my coach was like yelling at me, I think I might get like frustrated. So maybe he's the same way and he just wants to have somebody there who's going to calm him down. I don't know. I can't wait to see how this plays out. I kind of have a feeling, you know, he was making statements that like he worships her and he like prays to her at night, like she is his god now. And I just kind of feel like we're going to see a little like PDA in between rounds. Does anyone else see that happening?
Gross.
100% I see it.
I'm here for the fighting, not the making out.
Jeez. Like Perry.
Hey, man. By the way, sorry, guys. The young lady's name is LaTorre Gonzalez. She's not just Mike Perry's girlfriend. I'm sorry. LaTorre Gonzalez will be cornering on Mike Perry.
Coach LaTorre.
Coach, yeah, come on. Get it right. Casey, your thoughts on Mike Perry only bringing Coach LaTorre to his fight?
This absolutely rules, and yeah, and I don't understand why coaches even have, I mean, fighters even have coaches anymore. I mean, yeah, this is the next level, the next generation of mixed martial arts. You know, it's just like yeah, we've moved past coaches. You know, so
it's all about emotion.
It's all about emotional support now. So yeah, and
professional tennis, you can't receive coaching. So I don't understand why it's different here. You know, you're out there, you're the fighter, you figure it out.
Yeah, I think it should be, you know, girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, high school, you know, high school sweethearts. Yeah, I think basically if you've held hands with the person, then they should be in your corner.
So Casey, when you have your inevitable amateur fight, are you just gonna have Fezzik and Rubella in your corner?
Yeah. only your dogs. Yeah. And then when I get an ass kick, Fezzik will be just like rough.
You're okay. Different question. Other regular Alex, are you surprised at this move from Mike Perry?
No, not at all. Nothing this guy does surprises me. He's totally in that MMA weirdo classification. Like, no, nothing the guy does surprises me. What? It's funny you ask that because really, yeah, my reaction when I saw that story pop up, I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
This is a Mike Perry thing to do. This is we're always talking about this guy for whatever reason. Here's another reason we're talking about him. I admit it is an intriguing story. I'm not going to lie and say, "Oh, I'm above it." No, I love stupid stuff like this, and I'll be paying very close attention. Casey. Ooh. I'll be paying very close attention to the audio as I watch. And the good thing is, again, up in Canada on TSN, we usually don't get commercials. We usually get get all the corner stuff. So I'll definitely be listening in.
Oh, is there any fight in the history of the UFC where you go, please go the distance? I think this is the fight. I want to see every corner. I want to see in between. And I want to see everything. It's like. Even the fight, whatever fight comes right before that, I don't really care if they even broadcast it. I just want a camera on them getting ready to walk out. That's all I want. Like,
part of me, I'm kind of hoping for a Max Roscoff Drysdale situation where for some reason Mike Perry is kind of struggling to get out for the third, and then his poor girlfriend has to motivate him. I'm not gonna lie, a sick part of me kind of wants to see that happen.
My goodness. So it's like, Mike, if you don't get up the stool, you have to bring out the trash for a month.
Something, I don't know, something like that.
All right. Anyway, thank you for the question, Joey Jiu-Jitsu, a new commenter, or maybe I just don't remember, from At the Seaside, a longtime commenter. Is there any way Habib versus Justin Gaethje goes down anywhere other than Abu Dhabi? Why did you tag Justin Gaethje but not Habib? Anyway, I'm sure.
Snitch tagger.
Is there any way? I'm sure there's a way, but Dana already said that Habib versus Justin Gaethje is most likely going down in Abu Dhabi in September because he did sign that. They do have that deal with Abu Dhabi where they're going to bring X amount of events to that part of the world, but he did say the stuff going down on, quote, Fight Island is not part of that deal, so they were going in September anyway. I would imagine Habib said he'd be ready in September after Ramadan and everything, but of course, he's dealing with what's going on with Fox. So of course, there's a way, but I assume that's where it's going to be, right, guys?
Yeah, I mean, September's not really that far off when you think about it. So, mm-hmm. Given the state, how much is going to change from now to then? Probably not much. So yeah, I would say it's probably a safe bet.
I don't think it's a safe bet because do we know where Habib will be training for that fight?
That's a good point.
If he's training in the States. And the fight could be in the States. I mean, why go to Abu Dhabi if they're not going to have a crowd there? I'm assuming things are staying the same or not going to be getting any better. Where they're going to build like an arena just for the fight again, where they're going to have 15,000 people. There's going to be no one there. So
I'm assuming this is going to be part of the September. Like they're going to go back to Abu Dhabi every September with a title fight. So if the UFC has an agreement with them, maybe they want to bring Habib so he can because. That's just my assumption.
Yeah, no, I'm only thinking that just because both fighters, if Habib is doing his training camp in the States, both fighters would be in the States, and
yeah,
I mean maybe because like the whole I would think the whole point of this whole deal in Abu Dhabi is about tourism, you know, and bringing all these people to Abu Dhabi, and since it would be no one there, and they're not going to have any big press events in Abu Dhabi, then kind of what's the point? Maybe just kind of whatever those contracted fights, they just move on to, they get bumped to another year. So I'm not saying it's likely it's in Abu Dhabi, but there's a lot of variables we actually don't know, I think.
Dana also said that he envisions going back and forth between Vegas and Abu Dhabi for the foreseeable future. He's not even thinking about crowds right now. Every single press conference. You guys all watch the scrums and press conferences when I'm there and what have you, and everyone always asks, when are we getting crowds back? And Dana's always like, I'm not even thinking about right now. That is so far out of his mind. I had the theory that it was going to be Vegas, Abu Dhabi, Vegas, Abu Dhabi, like June, Vegas, July, Abu Dhabi, August, Vegas, September, Abu Dhabi. Like that could very well be how it is, just so they could get international fighters fights. But other Alex, your thoughts?
I'm a little sad that we've just kind of ruled out Jacksonville, because I feel like it's been too long.
Don't send me back.
It's been too long since Jose has been there. I don't like to tell people all about our private Slack conversations, but I'm pretty sure at some point in the last few days you did say, like, man, I miss Jacksonville. Yeah. And I wish I had a reason to go back there. And can you imagine, man, Khabib and Justin Gaethje in Jacksonville? I mean, that's where I think it should be. Okay, so
I don't want to bring out like our internal stuff too much public, but right. Jose started a new channel, and it's just about the bridges of Jacksonville, how he loves bridges.
I was about to say,
it's amazing.
City like, of Bridges. This whole amazing. Slack channel, and it's just like consumed. Yeah. I get all these notifications middle of the night.
Yeah.
Like, dude, there's this new bridge in Jacksonville I got to check out, man. I really hope Gaethje and Khabib's in Jacksonville. This is Jose Young's, by the way.
Yeah, I wake up to those notifications, and I'm just like, it just makes my day. I'm just like, it's going to be a good day when I see one of those. Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It's really amazing.
It's the daily bridge brief from Jose Young's. Anyway, fantastic. I hope we answered your question.
Duval!
That makes me sad. You make me sad.
Jackson Rounds in our comments said, Jacksonville, the Abu Dhabi of the South.
From Ollie in the YouTube comments, how did you score Emmett versus Burgos fight? I had it a draw. And have you seen the UFC rankings? Shane has dropped to 15th after being ranked 10 for losing the fight of the year candidate. Such BS. We'll use this as a way. I'm sure we're going to have more questions about it, but I'm sure you guys all saw that memo that went around about the UFC rankings. Alex, I think you did a little bit of poking into it, if I'm not mistaken.
I still am.
So Alex is poking into it. I'm sure we're going to – do we have more questions about this, Casey? Should we just answer it now?
We'll answer it now, yeah.
All right, so other Alex, what are your thoughts on Burgos dropping down so far after fight of the year candidate and this memo going around to the UFC rankings panel?
Yeah, it's a bit – I mean, the first part of the question, I thought it was a win for Emmett. I guess some people could have said first two rounds for Burgos and like a 10-8 for Emmett, I suppose. But I thought Emmett won two of the rounds. I didn't have much of an issue with that. Yeah, the rankings is a little crazy. What Jose was mentioning, the thing that was going around was Eric Koval of, I hope I pronounced the name right, of MMA News. He's part of the rankings panel, and he sent out a little segment of this briefing that all the voting panelists get. And it had some like suggestions kind of telling people, well, if Emmett wins this fight, this is what it should mean for him. If Burgos wins this fight, this is what it should mean for him. So there's a little bit of controversy over how much the UFC or whoever handles the things for the UFC might be influencing voters. I will say I've spoken to a couple of people in the last few days, and I'll be speaking to more people in the coming days. And they've said that they haven't felt influenced, and that kind of note is not like standard. Not every fight has that, oh, here's what you should do. So it does happen, but it's not for every ranked matchup. Yeah, I think him dropping so far is a little crazy. I mean, he did drop below Ryan Hall, which is fair. I mean, I don't even know why he was above Ryan Hall in the first place, so that's fine.
Amen.
But he's also below Sadiq Youssef and Jose Aldo, who's still ranked at 145 for some reason. So, yeah, that's literally insane. I'd rather see Emmett get a bigger bump than necessarily penalize Burgos for that loss, because it was a great fight. So, yeah, very fishy and questionable ranking right there.
Cool, Alex and Casey, did you read that memo that went around?
Yes, I did.
No, I didn't.
There was they mentioned Bryce Mitchell in both of the fighters. Mm-hmm. Like, if Josh Emmett wins and loses, here's what happens. Shane Burgos, if he wins and loses, here's what happens. And they both compared them to Bryce Mitchell. So to me, it sounds like they really want Bryce Mitchell in the rankings right now.
Wait. So this memo comes from who?
The UFC.
Wait, are we sure on that?
They're working through like a third party. I will say there's a third party involved, but obviously that party is communicating with the UFC. There's some levels, there's some degrees of separation between the UFC and the voters.
So it's basically, for those of you who don't know, it's saying like, if Josh loses, his record in his last five fights is like, what, 3-2? That's just a number that I made up. Like, so he might drop down to 15. On the flip side, Bryce Mitchell is undefeated and has won 4 in a row. He should be ranked 15 or something. That's not the exact language. That's just an example. This could also, if this has happened before, this could be the reason why Connor seems to always be ranked in the top 10, even though he takes like 2 years off. Because I've seen a lot of, I think, up on the screen for those of you watching, and for those of you just listening, come to the channel, or you can go to MMAfighting.com or Twitter. You can find it. As Gilbert Burns pointed out, Henry Cejudo retired, and about a week later, he was pulled from the rankings. Conor McGregor has also retired. Dana White said, "Conor's retired. I haven't talked to him, and yet he is still sitting up there in not just the lightweight rankings, but also the pound for pound rankings." So
yeah, someone told me today. One of the people I spoke to today said they use like a pull. You know, it's a pull down menu. It's not like a write in names ballot. It's a pull down of options. And Cejudo is absent. He is just gone from the options now. Conor McGregor is not. Conor McGregor is still an option to be voted in at 145. So there is some, something going on in the
other end. How long has it been
for Conor? For Cejudo or?
For Conor and 45?
Conor was like 2 weeks or something. Oh, so I'm not talking about since the retirement. I'm talking about since the retirement.
Conor hasn't fought at featherweight since UFC 194, which I think was December 2015.
Uh-huh.
2015.
Oh, I
don't think he's in the featherweight rankings anymore. I think he's only ranked at lightweight.
What I want to point out in this really oddly worded memo is that I think what they said, Burgos, like if he loses, he will be just 3-2 in his last 5 fights, which is a very weird way to say he's on his 3-fight winning streak would be snapped. Like he was on a 3-fight winning streak, but somehow they made it turn into this guy. Oh, he's only 3-2 if he loses. It's just a very. It's very we're twisting the numbers to make it sound very negative to justify anything.
I am seeing some copying and pasting going on here, which I don't blame them. I've done that many times in my own line of work. So, oh wait, I shouldn't tell people that.
It's a weird. Alex, were you ever on the rankings panel? Other Alex?
No, goodness.
Even back in the day, I've never even won. Like back when they first announced it, and it was like, where you're ranked is how much money you'll get from Reebok or something like that. I was like, no way am I partaking in that. I'm not trying to decide how much money people are making. Who's even on it? How many panelists are there?
There are now 22 panelists currently listed on UFC.com, but some of them websites I checked out go to like dead URLs, domain for sale sites. So it's and if you dig further into like the social media, it's sites that haven't been updated since like 2015. There's a Reddit thread that was made about 5 years ago, which covers some of this and addresses some of these sites that were dead back then and are still on the UFC rankings page and are still don't exist anymore. So I'm doing some more digging. Let's put it that way.
It's 22 people, maybe. That's about all we can say.
Maybe, yeah.
But for people who don't understand, why don't we participate in the UFC rankings?
Oh, well, I was going to ask Alex. I'm sorry, the cool Alex. How would you feel if you were approached to give your vote on UFC rankings?
No, I don't want that responsibility.
Yeah, I feel like it's a weird, journalistic ethics issue because our subjective opinions will now be affecting title fights and how much these guys will get paid and justification for anything. So I just find it very, it's weird.
I think Ryan the name Hall, should be
I'll
like,
talk about Savas.
Yeah.
I think so the people who vote, they're not anonymous.
No, you can go onto the rankings and like individually see each person's rankings.
Not anymore.
I haven't looked in a long time.
Yeah. That's a level of transparency that was removed, I believe, at the beginning of the year.
So there's no way to even know if the rankings are correct based on what Okay. If we can't even see the scorecards from all the other journalists, the rankings, then we don't even know if the final rankings are correct. Correct?
You do not. We do not have access to that information.
Oh, okay. This is BS then. Don't listen to UFC rankings.
I wish it was. None of you guys follow college sports, do you?
No,
there's an AP poll and a coaches poll. So the AP poll is voted on by sports reporters, and then there's a completely separate poll voted on by coaches that actually coach the sport. And it's usually pretty spot on, like similar, but they do make a note. So they'll say, like, Alabama ranked number one in both AP and coaches poll. It'll be like, and then, like, usually number one's always the same, but then, like, two through five can get a little different, but it's still top 25. So it'll be like, Arizona State University, like, 17th in the coaches poll, 20th in the AP poll. So I do like the difference between, I like it a lot. And then there's even like a BCS one where, they vote for like the, there's like a panel that picks the top four for the college football. It's usually the top four in one of the rankings, but then it gets murky with divisions where, like, if you don't win your division, do you deserve to be in the college football playoffs? And that's a whole nother conversation. But I like the two separate differentiating polls where if coaches, MMA coaches voted and sports reporters voted and they had two different ones, I wouldn't hate that.
Actually, I would like a media poll. A media poll and a players ranking and a media ranking. That would be kind of cool. Like, then you know, like, so, like, no, so when they fight, oh, he's consensus number one in both the media and I wouldn't do coaches, but players, but whatever.
But teammates, since, though, teammates would vote for each other. That'd be tricky.
Well,
coaches
can rank. Coaches are voting against their rivals too, so it's the same shit.
Yeah, there's so much politics to it. I'll say this to just two notes before I was there. I know we've been on this talk for a while, but one is that in defense of some of the people, I know we were all saying, like, it sounds crazy for us as journalists or I mean, bloggers myself to be involved in influencing the rankings, things that could affect the livelihood of the fighters. I'll say some of the people I've spoken to, they kind of went into it with, I would say, the best of intentions, as in, you know, they feel that they're qualified to help the rankings and want to make them credible. So again, that's just what I've heard, and I understand that viewpoint. So right or wrong, that's where a lot of these panelists are approaching it from. Well, and secondly, if I was involved in the rankings, Ryan Hall would be making a lot more money right now and probably would have fought for the UFC title at least three. Well, he would have fought and won.
I have one final question on rankings. Mm-hmm. Alex, Alex, you're a fan of tennis, right?
Yeah.
How do they decide the rankings there? Is there like a panel?
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that there's like pretty distinct like criteria. Like there's a formula, I guess. It's right. Just like subjective.
How's your elbow?
Tennessee.
There you go. Well, I'm sure we're going to have more questions on the poll, polls and panels and what have you. But question on the site from Trumbo. Dustin Poirier position and lightweight top five. If Dustin beats Hooker, God damn it, guy. Listen, last name's first name, so I'm going to fix it. If Dustin Poirier beats Dan Hooker this weekend, what do you do with him next? He's an interesting position. I don't think anyone's calling to see him fight Khabib Nurmagomedov again, but he has a win over Justin Gaethje. If Justin Gaethje manages to beat Khabib and Dustin wins again, do you give Dustin another title shot? Even this is complicated because one would assume that Khabib most certainly gets an immediate rematch if he loses. Conor seemingly has no interest in fighting Poirier. Is Poirier versus Ferguson the fight to make? Do you believe Poirier there to potentially kill off fresh contenders to the title like DuBronx? What do you do with Dustin Poirier? So, Casey, I'm going to start with you this time. If Dustin Poirier beats Dan Hooker, what do you do with him next?
Well, if Gaethje wins, I think you do Gaethje Poirier. I don't buy this idea that Khabib gets a rematch automatically. He's not a long-running champ. I mean, it was a long road to get to the championship, but him as a champion hasn't been that long. Mm-hmm. And if Khabib wins, yeah, you most likely give him a number one contender. But I'm also not against a rematch. I mean, it's not the number one fight I want to see Khabib fight. But if Khabib rolls through Gaethje, and which no one's ever done that, but if Khabib gets through Gaethje, and then I don't know, yeah, if you run it back with Poirier, don't matter. But yeah.
What if you do Tony Ferguson versus Dustin Poirier for the number one contendership? So that means if Khabib and Tony win, they could get that fight. Or if Dustin beats Tony, there's no argument that he gets a rematch with Khabib if Khabib wins, because you can't beating you know that Hooker does, and Ferguson back to back would be easy.
That does sound better, actually. If Dustin beats Hooker, Poirier beats Hooker. And then Khabib wins. Yeah, Dustin versus Ferguson would be a pretty legit fight. And obviously, if Dustin got through Dan Hooker, got through Tony Ferguson, he's earned his rematch. He earned his next ass kicking by Khabib, essentially.
Cool, Alex. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many ways to get them all, you know, back in there. So that what you said, Jose, makes the most sense. But again, this is all contingent on who beats who and how that plays out.
We also have Paul Felder supposedly is in and out of retirement, I guess. He posted all those really gruesome photos of like injuries he's had over the years. Charles Oliveira is obviously blitzing up the rankings. Then you got like 10 through 15 is, you could tell me Gregor Gillespie is ranked 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and I would believe you. Like, it seems like all five or six of those guys are just.
I think DuBronx is the kind of the dark horse here. Like,
he 100% is, I think.
Yeah,
he's looked up, but like Kevin Lee and Ally Quinter are coming off losses. Connor's an anomaly. Dan Hooker's fighting Poirier. Paul Felder's in and out of retirement. Yeah, it's rough. And then who knows? Go ahead.
Does it change anything if Hooker beats Poirier?
Yeah.
Well, Hooker's a fresh matchup for either Gaethje or Khabib. So
And Gaethje and Hooker kind of have had Twitter beef lately with someone saying he's going to get murked, and Hooker's like, put your money where your mouth is and this and that. But then there's also like some anomalies that could happen. Like, what if Max Holloway loses to Volkanovski and decides he wants to go up to lightweight? Max Holloway could be thrown into there. Donald Cerrone goes back and forth between lightweight and welterweight all the time. So there's some fun matchups that could happen down the road.
All right.
That question.
Cerrone versus Holloway sounds so.
Oh wait,
fun.
Hold on. Trump. First of all, Trumbo, love you. Always leaving good questions. That question was like 40 parts. Does that question have like 40 different parts? That was so.
There's a lot of question marks in there. Yeah.
I apologize. I glazed over more so than usual when the questions were being read out. So it really was just if Dustin Poirier beats Hooker, then that is that what's next for him. That was it. That's the meat of the question.
That's the meat of it, yeah.
All the other stuff, hypotheticals. Okay, I'll just throw out.
Anthony Pettis could also return to lightweight. Right. He said he wanted to return to lightweight after his win over Cerrone. So
I want Tony Ferguson, Charles Oliveira to fight at some point, and then I want I think the winner of that could face if Dustin Poirier beats Dan Hooker. I would love to see Ferguson Oliveira winner versus Dustin Poirier.
All right, there you go. Yeah. And Diego Fajeda is like blitzing.
Yeah, it's great.
From the C-side, again, how come Anthony Smith already has another fight lined up? Hashtag the A-side.
How come?
Because they wanted him to fight, and he said yes. Maybe, there you go. When is that fight, anyway? Is that August?
Let me hit the Google.
Alexander Rachik, which is
sick.
Awesome fight.
My assumption is Glover wants to take some time off his win, and... I guess Anthony Smith said he's good. He got his teeth fixed up.
His teeth are back in his head, and he's ready to go.
Yeah. Ratchik and Smith are both coming off losses, so that matchup makes sense. I think if they're waiting to see what John Jones does, see if they want to make Glover versus Dominic Reyes or Thiago Santos. So I think those three are all vying for either title shots or vacants or rematches or so on and so forth. So Smith Ratchik makes a lot of sense. And you got Volkan Ozdemir versus Jerry. How do you pronounce his last name, Casey?
The guy who fought in Ryzen.
Yeah. There you go. But anyway,
Prohachka.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get used to saying that because I feel we're gonna be saying his name a lot soon.
I'm not sure I'm saying it right. That's my anglicized version of the name. I'm not sure I'm saying it right. But yeah, Jiří Prohachka is how I would go with it. Rakic Smith, August 29th.
It's a little bit away. We're used to these short notice fights where they're fighting next week, but it's actually like 2 months away. So that's why it does make more sense.
Yeah. Why is he fighting again? Because he's fought 48 other times in his career. This is what Anthony Smith does. Yeah. I mean, he fought before his first fight with the UFC, his first stint, he had 27 pro fights already. And then when he came back, his second stint, he was at 36 pro fights. So this is just what Anthony Smith does. The guy fights. He could have his teeth falling out 1 week, and the next week he's like picking up the phone and, yep, hook me up with another top 10 contender. Let's go. The guy's a fighter, man.
Rakic is awesome too, and he lost a very close split decision. I kind of thought he won, but I see it go either way against Ozdemir a little bit ago. So super good fight, super good fight.
I'm sure the matchmakers are taking that in consideration too when they're trying to fill these fight cards. People that generally don't back out. People that are gonna go the distance 100%. Are gonna fill it out. So Anthony Smith is that guy. So he's probably first on their list to call.
I also forgot about Jan Blachowicz doesn't even have a fight coming up. neither does Corey Anderson. So light heavyweight has a lot
of Dominic
scrap.
Reyes.
Or Dominic Reyes.
Or John Jones.
Nikita Krylov, Johnny Walker, Misha Cirkunov, Ryan Spann, Shogun, and Lil Nogger going to throw down for the third time. All right, from Lucas Milotic. I apologize for mispronouncing that. If the rumors are true and Amanda Nunes actually retires or at least steps away for a bit, how do you book the vacant bantamweight title fight? Would you want to see Valentina jump up to bantamweight to challenge for it? So interesting question, because we've talked a lot about what they're going to do with the featherweight title, but we haven't talked a whole lot of what they're going to do with the bantamweight title. So cool, Alex, I'll start with you because I saw you nodding your head. If Amanda Nunes retires and or just steps away for a bit and to prepare for motherhood,
right,
what do you do with the women's 135-pound title?
I think my answer last week probably would have been different, but now that Aspen Ladd is injured, I think it makes sense. Maybe the winner of Holm and Aldana take on GDR. Kind of makes
That's
sense.
That's an awesome fight. Yeah, right. At bantamweight, so it would be Holm GDR rematch at bantamweight. I like that.
Well, you really think the UFC is going to give GDR a chance to have a belt?
Wait, okay, Casey, let's reread the question. Would you want to see, or how do you book? Sorry, I reread it. I'm going to reread it again because I read it differently. how do you book it?
The vacant? Yeah.
That's how I book it.
Oh, got him. Sorry, Casey. Got him.
that's why she's cool, Alex. I would never burn Casey like that.
So then the top five at the 100, at the top six, I'll say, at 135 is Amanda's the champ, so she's not in the ranks. GDR 1, Holly Holm 2, Aspen Ladd 3, Juliana Pena 4, Raquel Pennington 5, Irene Aldana 6. Raquel Pennington moved up to 5, Irene Aldana fell down to 6. That's the most recent changes. So Aspen Ladd is out for the foreseeable future with a gruesome knee injury. Is Juliana Pena fighting at 125 or 135?
I think she's still at 135.
135? Uh-huh. Okay. So, she beat Nico at 135.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and then Marion Renault's just lost. Sarah McMahon doesn't have a fight, correct? They didn't find a replacement?
Nope, she's off the card.
And then Yana Tsukunikaya 8 and Kellen Vieta 7. Interesting. And then Julia Vila sitting there at 15.
The UFC, they already booked this interim title fight. They just got to change the name. Just Aldana versus Holm, interim title. Just move that fight.
They could do that. Huh? Yeah. They could do that.
Holmes coming off a win. Aldana's coming off a great victory. And, don't have that fight for a stupid contender fight. Have it for an interim title fight. Move that main event. Or even have an interim title fight as a main event for a fight night if the UFC wants to do that. But they already had the answer right in front of them to me.
Yeah. Should they not do that, though, I am all for Lucas's suggestion. And I could totally see the UFC doing it and just asking Valentina if she wants to come. I'm not saying they should. You don't think they're going to – you don't think they would?
No, because Dana White's already said he wants Wiley versus Valentina instead. Mm. He doesn't want Valentina 135. He goes, someone straight up, Oscar Willis, I remember, is now the time to do Amanda Valentina 3, considering the first fight was 3 rounds. I think Valentina was starting to pull out a little bit, or like she's starting to put it together in the third round. The question was like, if there was two more, let's see what happens. A lot of people, including myself, think Valentina won the second fight. And then Dana White immediately shot down that. And he goes, I'd rather see Wiley Valentina than Amanda Valentina.
Well, first of all, Dana White, known for sticking to his word and never going back on it. You're right. Yes.
Wei Li Zhang.
He does. Yeah. He specifically was saying, by the way, he did not want to see Nunez as Shevchenko again. That is really what's specific. I think he'd love the idea of her coming up and grabbing another title. Especially, again, since the flyweight division at the moment, there just isn't anyone to book her up against right now. So I think if she wants to fight and the UFC sees this opportunity, and depending how the Holm-Aldana fight shakes out, if they don't just make it for an interim title, which they could, but I don't see that happening, I'm all for Lucas' suggestion. Valentina goes up and becomes a champ, much to the delight of Jed Meshew and Dana White.
Alex, cool Alex, would you rather see Valentina jump up to bantamweight to fight for a vacant title or challenge Weili, or Weili go to 125 for a super fight there?
Yeah, I'd rather see Shevchenko and Weili. The only reason I'd want Valentina to go up to bantamweight is to fight Amanda, and if Amanda's not there, then I don't see the point.
Why? Fresh matchups.
Weili has so many good matchups at strawweight.
So I agree.
Why are we screwing this up already?
Casey, again, we're asking what would you rather see, not let's make this happen. Jeez Louise, man.
This is so stupid.
It's like if I say, what would you rather have, purple or red shirt? And you're like, what about green? I'm like, that's not what I asked, guy.
Well, you should have. The question sucks.
All right, fine. Casey, who would you rather see Valentina fight next then?
I don't know. I'm over this.
All right.
I don't know.
I don't know.
The truck is upset. The truck is upset, guys. I'm getting.
The truck has a flat tire. At Alexander K. Lee, I'm happy to inform you that due to the other Alex failing to name or even mention Mauro Nalo as best MMA commentator of all time in a recent episode, you have been promoted to Cool Alex. Wisely.
I'm about to be demoted because this is one thing that Cool Alex and I actually agree on because. I want to be gentle here because I don't want I have nothing. I think Mauro seems like a solid dude. I'm not the biggest fan of Mauro Ranallo. I think his enthusiasm unmatched. You cannot watch a Mauro Ranallo fight and not get like into it. That he does an amazing job of. Super knowledgeable. I'm not a fan of the esoteric references and the random hip hop references. This mostly pertains to pro wrestling. I don't think he does this in MMA as much.
Oh, he does.
Does he? nothing takes me out of an NXT match than when he drops some random hip hop reference in the middle of a match. Takes me right out of it. And it's cool. Look, like
get
I said,
cultured,
knowledgeable guy.
Get cultured, man.
Dude,
come on.
Knowledgeable guy, but sometimes just talk about the damn match. Because he's really good at it. When he talks about a match or a fight, he's incredible. But
Mauro can get anyone excited about anything.
And that's
he can get people excited about that beige shirt you're wearing.
He is.
He can make anything great.
I could take a button off, Jose. But I'm sorry, we want to stay monetized.
YouTube's got standards.
No strike, please. We got to monetize. I don't think he's bad. I would not put him on the best commentators of all time. He's not one of my favorite personally. So I'm demoted back to other Alex, I guess, because I'm in lockstep here with Cool Alex.
Who made this guy the king of Alex rankings?
Yeah, seriously. We have a panel. Coaches full of Alexes.
I mean, there can't be
strike MX.
He might be the only one, so.
All right, this is a lot of questions.
From a good friend, Dan Shapiro, now that we've publicly seen the rankings primer, how do you fix the rankings? Mm-hmm. Fix them. We've already sort of answered that.
He answers the question right there.
There you go.
Yeah, just fix them.
Better corner person, Joshua Fabia or Latorre Gonzalez?
What happened to Fabia?
Joshua Fabia won his last fight.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And Coach Latorre does not have a win yet.
No. Yeah. Fabio won his last fight, and Latorre, she's undefeated as the coach.
Technically,
I would phrase that untested.
Undefeated. Zero losses. She has zero losses.
She's also not coaching him. She's just there for moral support.
No. She has a little name tag. It says corner. That's
uh-huh. She puts the ice bag on his back and what have you. Anyway, what's the over under on positive COVID tests on Fight Island?
I'm not going to answer that. That's a bad. Honestly,
that's a loaded question.
I think that's a morbid thing to ask. I'm
not. IDK. There you go.
You sicko.
Hope no one tests positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hope. Yeah.
Wait. What kind of answer could we say? Like, oh yeah, that's right. I like that answer. Yeah.
I'll put it this way. If someone out there is actually like putting out odds and gambling on how many people are going to get COVID at like a UFC event or any sporting event, you're sick. I'll just say right now, you have a problem. So, I'm not talking about this Dan Shapiro necessarily, but I'm saying Shapiro. But I know there's people out there who gamble on anything, and if there's people who are betting odds on how many people will get sick at this event or this event, like that's you need to take a step back. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, thank you for the question, Dan. From Mike J. Batista, longtime fan. Mm-hmm. How do you How do you think the cultural upheaval slash revolution spurned by the Black Lives Matter movement will affect UFC slash MMA's culture moving forward, i.e. how black fighters and other minorities are promoted and viewed by fans? I do not think spurned is the word.
You meant spurred. Spurred.
Spurned means to be rejected by, if I'm not mistaken. So I do not believe it's spurned.
Which you have been many times, Jose. So you're very familiar with that word. I'm sure Mike.
That cuts deep, huh? That hurt you, Jose.
I was more like, where did that come from?
Mike meant spurred.
Became coming from the MMA media thing, just pulling random things out of the air to make a headline. Anyway, I'll start with you, basic Alex.
Oh.
How do you think the cultural upheaval revolution moved forward by the Black Lives Matter movement will affect the UFC?
I can't imagine much at all. I don't know. I mean, for one thing, again, you know, UFC president Dana White is not exactly the most gung-ho as far as like broadcasting this message. I know they did the George Floyd, dedication. And then after that, did they join the rest of sporting organizations in putting out a statement on their social
media? That's what I thought. UFC 250. Well, Alex, I know you watch because you and I send videos back and forth from the press conferences. But a local reporter straight up asked Dana, like, are you going to put out a statement similar to like other promotions? And Dana was so confused by the question that she had to ask it three times, three different ways. And he was just so confused. And then the next week, John Morgan just goes, I think there was a little bit of confusing last week. And he asked the question again, and Dana gave another confusing non-answer. So, no, I don't think this is going to change anything. I think it could change how the fighters move forward in speaking out, but I don't think it's going to change Dana White whatsoever.
Pretty much. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, fighters themselves, individually, how they talk to the media, how, like Devin Clark, you know, holding the fist up, things like that. I think we're going to see a lot of that. I hope we see some more of that from white fighters and non-African American fighters too, to support other fighters who are supporting the Black Lives Matter movement.
Well, they don't have to be African American. Israel Adesanya is not African American because he's not American. Yeah. I saw there was a huge argument about that on non-MMA related question. Like someone called I can't remember his name, the actor from Get Out who's from the UK.
Okay. Kaluuya.
As someone called him African American, he's like, he's not American. He's just
right.
A black actor. And anyway, that's another conversation. But
I will say I do think we are noticing some connection between sort of this general social upheaval and awareness, and if you want to like kind of lump it all together, the Black Lives Matter movement, and then plus the call for unionization, but the protests from like the upper tier fighters. I don't think it's a coincidence it's all happening now, that the speaking out movement that's happening now in professional wrestling, very, very important thing to read about. Again, they're not directly tied together, of course, they're very different issues, but I do think we are seeing very much on social media and just kind of, and now the mainstream media, a lot of these things are coming up and people are finding motivation to speak out.
And the comedy world, it's happening right now.
That's right. That's right. So it's somewhat tied together. Yeah. But BLM directly affecting the UFC's decisions as far as promoting black athletes, I don't think.
This ain't NASCAR.
Oh, that's a whole other issue. Oh, the truck coming in hot. That's a whole other issue.
I don't. We'll ask Mike Perry tomorrow during the media day.
Jesus.
Please don't.
He's been very public about his heritage. So, Just saying, bro.
Okay.
All right. Good question, Mike. Keep it light. Is this worth?
Okay. From Kiwi _ MMA and Z.
You don't need to eat your microphone.
Okay.
Okay.
With New Zealand having no cases of COVID or community transmission, and rugby being back on with 50,000 people in attendance at the stadium, could we possibly see Stylebender versus the Eraser Down Under later this year? By later this year, do you mean like fourth quarter? If that would be earliest if they're to first fans, because I know, again, I mentioned this before, Dana White said he's not even thinking about fans right now. I think he's really focused on just Abu Dhabi and Vegas.
Yeah, I was looking into this, and so this rugby match that he's talking about was between two local teams. So presumably everybody that was in the stadium was a New Zealand citizen. So I don't think that New Zealand's ready to just start, you know, flocking people to the island.
That is a very good point, because wasn't the issue was Dan Hooker not getting into the States, but him
coming back.
Yeah. That's an excellent point. I had not thought of that. If they want the Eraser versus the Stylebender versus or Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa, they're going to need to fill up that card. They can't just make it all New Zealand versus New Zealand.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
You could try, but...
There's going to be, I don't know if you saw the news, how like the EU is there, everyone's considering about basically banning
travel ban from the States,
Americans, Russians, and Brazilians from all the EU. And New Zealand has been, as far as they're like almost one of the gold standards as far as like how to control the COVID-19 outbreak. I think they're down to like zero new cases. It's like really incredible what they're doing down there. Mm-hmm. So. Is Stylebender Eraser going to be down? Could it be in New Zealand? It actually could be, but I highly doubt it, because if they are going to do that, I would assume the New Zealand government, if they bring in any fighters, they would require them to be under a 2-week quarantine before they're even like 2-week quarantine. That's a strict quarantine. That's not like a stay at home thing when you go to the grocery store. It means like you're locked in a hotel room for 2 weeks. Like people slide food under your door. That's about it. And I just don't see how the UFC can have all these athletes and staff from across the world and media come to New Zealand for a 2-week quarantine too. And I just think it'd be very difficult. There's just too many issues that could come up. So I highly doubt it.
More time for Paulo to tweet.
Yeah.
I was going to be, man, I was all gung ho on the idea after reading Mark's tweet, but Alex Savas and Casey and Jose, you guys raised some really good points. And now I just feel like an idiot for wanting it, but that's true. I hadn't thought about all those restrictions. I thought just throw them in a stadium, it'll be fine. But yeah, that's a good point. I won't speak on this any further.
Excellent question, Mark.
Yeah, it is a good question, Mark.
Very good question.
Question for the ASI live chat. Which champion outside of the UFC has the best chance of becoming champ in the UFC, excluding DJ? So all champions in every promotion, who could be champion in the UFC? Chris Cyborg could probably be champion in the UFC.
I want to see that rematch so bad.
I think Douglas Lima is an amazing fighter. Patricio Pitbull for sure.
I was gonna just cheat and say Kayla Harrison. I think you throw her in there with any 155 pound opponent, she's probably just gonna beat them. But I'm just saying if they create a division thing, if they plan to bring in Kayla Harrison, because I don't think she's ever dropping down to featherweight. So if they do bring her over, there would essentially be a title fight tailor made for her. But it's a bit of a cheap answer.
I just thought of a dream fight I want to see, and I don't want them to fight because I really enjoy both these fighters, how they fight. But Izzy versus Musasi, that just kind of getting sweaty.
Yes.
But there's obviously a lot. I think there's lots of champions you could see. What divisions do you not see it happening? Just like
light heavyweight.
You don't think Ryan Bader has made enough improvements, and you don't think John Jones is. You think John Jones is?
I think he's made. I think he has made enough improvements not to be submitted. I think it would be a very close fight, but I just think John is one step ahead of everyone at light heavyweight, not named unless Daniel Cormier drops back down to light heavyweight. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I don't see Bader grinding him out, and I don't see him sleeping him. Like that light heavyweight, that heavyweight tournament he was in, where he was just melting everyone and grinding him out, I don't think he does that to John. John Jones's chin is unbelievable, and I don't think anyone is grinding out John Jones.
Where do you put Ryan Bader as far as worldwide
top
rankings
five.
At 205?
Top five.
Top five, but you still put him top behind five. Like Reyes and I don't know who else is whoever.
Mm, top five. I would say he could be.
I don't know the answer to this. I'm just kind of like, I think you
it's
know.
Hard. Like full disclosure, it's really hard to talk about that because I was friends with Ryan Bader before I was in the MMA media. Like that's why I don't cover his fights. Like when I go to Bellator events or even when he's fighting the UFC, I would tell my editors at various places like I can't. Like cover Ryan because I had a relationship with him even like similar to when Luke Thomas worked for us, he couldn't do predictions for Ryan Hall because he was coached by Ryan Hall. So it's very difficult for me to talk about Bader because I knew him at ASU even before he was an MMA fighter.
Okay. I'm just looking at the light heavyweight rank, the official UFC rankings. So I guess we're not, if we're saying top five, we're including the champion, I guess.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, always.
Right, okay. So the UFC official, John Jones, I agree. Dominic Reyes, second, I agree. Thiago Santos, they have third. And then Jan Blachowicz, fourth. And then Corey Anderson. Would I put Ryan Bader over Corey Anderson?
I would.
You don't put, you won't put Ryan Bader above Jan?
I don't know.
I would. I
Jan's
would.
Really good.
Look at me. So look at Jan's resume. I mean, he's on a streak right now, but I mean, he's on a hot streak, and that's why. That's how you get title shots. You just gotta get in that streak.
Mm-hmm. You know, one name we forgot: Kyoji Horiguchi. He could be champ in the UFC.
He's got smoked though. That's the thing is, I don't know. Now he's got.
He could. Yeah, but.
Oh, but could it be a champion?
Which champion has the best chance? He has a chance.
Could he be a champion at 1.5?
You know what? We're about to find out. The UFC just signed two amazing Ryzen champions with Manel Cape and Jiri. I can't say his last. I got to learn to say his last name. And those are two really good fighters. And yeah.
So, what about Alima?
I want to see it. I just want to see it.
She herself said, like, Valentina's. Like on another level. Like she says that. Like she was on this show and she's like, she's on another level.
Yeah. But she says, I'll take that fight. I'll do it. Yeah. But I love, that's what I love about Lima. She's never gone into a fight going like, I'm gonna whoop this girl's butt. She's like, oh God, I don't know. This is, you know, that's how but if you talk to Lima, that's how she's kind of is. She's not one of those fighters. Like, she's like the opposite of Conor. And it's like Conor's like, I'm gonna knock Mayweather out in 2 seconds. No, never take 1 second. You know, like she's all like, "Oh, I don't know. I'm trying my best." You know, I really like fighters like that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
We lumping Invicta into this too, because a lot of the Invicta champions have gone on to the UFC. Who are the Invicta champions?
Well, we have an Invicta champion coming up this weekend. Jin Yu Fry is she's, you know, vacated the atomweight title, of course, but she's fighting Kay Hansen this Saturday at, I assume, 115, obviously. Do I think she's going to be going on a strawweight title run anytime soon? I don't know. Strawweight, I think, is better than people think. But there you go. There's one champion coming over.
Vanessa Porto?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The UFC won't sign for some reason.
No reason why she's not in the UFC.
I do wonder, don't you think, to some degree, that Shannon Knapp might be asking them not to sign her? Nah, she wouldn't do that.
No.
She always encourages fighters to go.
You're overthinking this.
Yeah, she encourages fighters to go as soon as they can.
Anyway, thank you for the question. That was an interesting. I can't say I don't see your name, but that was a good question.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? We didn't get a question on this, but I want to talk about it. Let's talk about Jin Yu Fry versus Kay Hansen.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest fight I've ever heard. In 1 week, I'm like, it was just like, I saw, Jin Yu Fry's in the UFC. She's moved to 115. Yes, yeah. I've been saying this for years. She needs to move up to 115. Cool, she's in the UFC. Oh, she's fighting next week. Holy crap. And then, holy shit, she's fighting Kay Hansen. I was like, and Kay Hansen, I think, is a decent strawweight.
She's like,
is a decent
she's like 20.
Yeah, she's like 20. 20. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, she's
So we just don't know how good she's Kay Hansen can become. But, like, I'm just so curious about that fight.
According to Tapology, Kay is the slight favorite, -150.
Do you think we could get another similar to Poirier Holloway one, where Holloway was so young and he lost, but then it looked like look who he became later on?
I don't know.
I don't think Kay is that person, but
she's such a wild card though.
But we didn't think
she is such a wild card. Like she's, you know, we talk about how young she is. She's the kind of fighter that's so young, she doesn't know if she's overmatched, she doesn't know if she's in trouble in a fight. Like she is always pushing and like competing. Like she's a lot of fun to watch. I don't know how she's gonna deal with Jin Yu Fry, but I don't mind the matchup. I actually think it is a weird matchup to make, but it's kind of like besides the two, the main and Kone.
On 1 week's notice, like what?
Well, she's done that before. She's fought it. Kay Hansen takes a fight. Yeah. I think that's normal for her. That's a normal camp for her.
Yeah, but it's different. It's different.
It's the UFC, right? But that's actually kind of the fight I'm looking forward to the most, besides the main and co-main. I think that's gonna be so cool to watch.
And I'm super.
I think you pulled two women right out of Invicta on 1 week's notice, making their UFC debuts. They're both gonna want to prove something, and I feel like we've been seeing that a lot lately with people making their UFC debuts. We're seeing a lot of first round knockouts lately, and maybe it's a small octagon. I don't know, but I'd like to see a statistic over the years of like UFC debuts and quick finishes.
Mm. Those UFC debuts either go really well or really poorly. Mm-hmm. there's usually not too much middle ground. So as you've seen, you know, we saw with Tyson Amp's opponent, Max.
Yeah.
But then we
Justin
have
James.
It's either that way or that way. The middle ground is very small.
And then I think and then you get that anomaly like Justin Gaethje, who like just puts on one of the greatest fights of all time in their UFC debut.
Thank
you for the question, anonymous person.
Yeah, anonymous person. Go back on YouTubers, people, interneters. Go to Fight Pass and watch Kay Hansen's fight versus Jacob. Sharon Jacobson. Sharon Jacobson. One of the best comebacks I've ever seen. Just an unreal comeback. I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, that was – yeah, that you got to at least find the clip to finish. That was the most random – I mean, we should describe it, right?
Who's this? What did you say?
Sharon Jacobson and Kay Hansen. So Sharon Jacobson, really good wrestler, classic grinder. She was on her way to winning a decision, and she kind of goes for this like suplex at the end of the fight to kind of punctuate her win. And I don't know if she slipped or it was Kay's defense, but Kay kind of lands on top of her. And I think, what did she get, Kay? An arm bar,
right? Yeah, arm bar from the bottom.
Literally, I think maybe 5 seconds left in the fight or something. It was, it's one of those things that nobody talks about enough. It was one of those amazing moments of this last year.
Yeah, I think I put it as my number 2 or 3 submission of the year. It was awesome. I want to answer this question. It's not really a question, but
would love if UFC had a 105-pound women's division. Yeah, you're telling me.
Yeah,
you're telling me.
Yeah. They're gonna dump the women's featherweight pretty soon. We all know that. Megan Anderson and Felicia, those ladies, they will go to Bellator, and Bellator have a loaded 45 division that's gonna be freaking awesome when Bellator gets going. Mm-hmm. Open up the atomweight division. Open it up.
You know it's never going to happen, Casey. I'm going to
turn
the tables on you here.
Shut up. I don't like you.
Everyone settle down. Everyone settle down. Come on.
Oh, I want the atomweight division so bad.
No.
I saw Hamasaki Ham fight at a sold-out Saitama Arena last year in front of like 40,000 people. Two 105ers beating the crap out of each other. One of the best fights I've seen. It was so awesome. And just I want to see more atomweights in the UFC. And,
Carla can be another inaugural champion.
Yep, I was gonna say. I think that belt's ready for Carla too.
Where she belongs.
Let me go to the YouTube comments for some questions. Ooh, that's too big.
From Ollie. Do you prefer the smaller cage to the bigger cage, and championship fight? Do you want to see the smaller cage? I want Adesanya versus Costa in a smaller cage. I don't think you said smaller cage enough in that sentence, guy. I like the smaller cage, but I don't really have it. I don't care enough. Like, if someone goes gun to my head, well, I'm like, sure, smaller cage. That's more exciting. But if the UFC is like, no more smaller cage, I'd be like, okay, I don't really care. Adesanya Costa is going to rule, even if it's on like the roof of a whatever building.
I absolutely do care. Just imagine Romero versus Adesanya in the small cage. I think that's a completely different fight. I think it's a completely different.
It better be.
Romero might win that fight. I think Adesanya definitely benefits from the big cage. I think someone like Romero, I think that fight's very much different. But for Adesanya and Costa, I really think the outcome is the same for that. But small cage all the way.
If I had to pick, I'll say bigger cage, only because I get it. The smaller cage does result in more finishes, but I'm not of the camp that believes, you know, finishes equal quality fights. Equal excitement, of course, always equal excitement, but I don't necessarily think it means it makes for a better fight. So I'm probably just being traditional, and probably because I'm used to the bigger cage, but I'll say a bigger cage.
Alex, cool Alex, small or big?
Yeah, no preference. I'm not out there fighting, you know, whatever works.
Small cage is about action, 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 action. Man, that's what we want.
No, I want ducking and dodging and evading and staring and fainting. I like a good faint, Casey.
Max El Kukui Holloway, what are your guys' thoughts on Dana saying the UFC is an opportunity, not a career? Other Alex, is the UFC an opportunity or a career?
Wow.
I feel like I'm going to hurt someone's feelings here.
Oh, boy.
I mean, he's kind of right. It's not a career. I'm sorry, man. I hated that he said it. It was almost like a keeping it real goes wrong moment. Like, I feel like, whoa, it's like, Dana, you don't that might be kind of the open secret that we're all kind of acknowledging, but you don't say it. You don't say that to your, I can't imagine being a fighter and hearing that and hearing someone's, maybe some people might find it motivating, but I think for a lot of fighters who it is their livelihood, who do bank on getting 3 fights a year and making money that way and paying their bills that way, to hear it's not a career, man, I like, you know, we joke about all the time, like whether it's even a sport or not, but at the very least, I would think that the president of the company would treat it like a job and treat his athletes like professionals.
Well, we always say that you only got 2 jobs, make weight, show up to fight. Well, that's a job.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't. Job, Dana White doesn't. Right? Hey, you only got 2 opportunities to make weight and to fight. There's 2 opportunities. He never says that.
Yeah. So I'm not saying I disagree with the sentiment, but I'm also not the president of the UFC, and I do disagree with him saying it. That's just not something that you say to your fighters. I can't imagine that being motivating. Again, I'm not a fighter. Maybe I'm wrong, but
did you guys see all the memes for UFC 4 coming out? It was like fake covers. It was like UFC 4, and it goes includes second job opportunity.
Yeah.
I love it. I thought it was so funny.
Oh man.
How do you wait, Alex? I'm genuinely curious why you think that it's not a career.
Well, gosh, why is it not a career? Again, like I said, I definitely view MMA as more as a form of entertainment, and I view the people in it as athletes. Okay, so I'm not saying I do say it often that I don't know how much of it is as a traditional sport as we view the word sport. But again, I would say that about a lot of sports. By the way, I've been quoted many times saying the only real sport left is, of course, professional wrestling. So take my comments with a grain of salt. If fighting is a career, then it's not immediate. No, of course not. Oh, I know what you guys are saying. Oh, shots fired.
That's
no,
awesome.
Question.
This is not a career. No, absolutely, it's not a career.
Question. Is mixed martial arts a career? UFC an opportunity?
Wait, Alex, for our podcasters, please read the comment that's on the screen.
Oh, sorry. Jessica of the Crystal Crew, a beloved fan, says, wait, so if fighting isn't a career, then is MMA media a career? Rolling on the floor, laughing emoji, monkey covering eyes emoji. Oof.
Thank you, Jessica.
Yes, but Jessica's correct. Is this a career? I don't know. You know, I'm doing okay with it, thankfully. Would I call it a career? I don't know. We'll see. Give me another 5 years in the business. We'll see what I think about it. But I just think it's hard for fighters to take the responsibilities seriously, the many responsibilities that the UFC piles on them, and be told it's an opportunity. So I don't know. Maybe they kind of present it as a career, but just based on the longevity of the average fighter and the way these opportunities are doled out, I don't know. I don't know if that's how a career should work.
We hope that answered your question. Casey shakes his head.
Probably didn't.
Cool. Alex is looking puzzled at other Alex.
We'll fight about it later.
Okay.
I'll see you on Slack.
Do we have any more questions, Casey? Any fun ones? We started like 8 minutes late. We can go.
We've gone over an hour.
Okay. Are we done?
So many good questions.
Yeah, we're done.
I love the way we didn't go out.
I'm sorry we didn't get to the tattoo question. I saw whoever asked that. Casey didn't.
Oh,
him.
What was the tattoo question? I missed it.
Exactly. He didn't even look at it. So we'll get it. We'll get it.
I'm not equipped to answer that.
I am. but anything? There's no other questions, Casey, before we wrap it up.
Someone said, if you grew up in Central Florida, you would understand Mike Perry a little more. I am from Central Florida, and I totally get Mike Perry.
Cool.
I spent many years in Ocala and Daytona, and so I'm aware of what Central Florida is. So hey, my dog.
I'm just gonna lightning round a couple of questions I saw on Twitter. What's the under the radar fight you guys think isn't getting talked about enough on this weekend's card? I said Hanson Fry. I don't know if you guys.
Hanson Fry and the debut of Miranda Maverick, future title contender. Future title contender, right there.
Invicta represent this weekend. And this is actually one I actually want to hear you guys, I think, but from Kenta Thusen, should Max Roscoff get another opportunity in the UFC or go on a developmental deal with the UFC?
I think you should get another shot considering you took a fight on short notice.
But, cool, but, Alex. But what, about cool. The, what about the developmental option?
Cool, Alex.
He's spoken.
I really want to, I'm going to plug Mike Heck's interview here, which I think just dropped like 10 minutes ago. I want to hear his side. I haven't listened to it yet, so I'm really curious to see what his side of the story is, and then I would answer that question.
Good Casey? Journalism integrity.
Casey, you're not sitting this one out. Max Roscoff, should you get another thing? Should you do a developmental deal? What do you think?
He is UFC worthy, but how old is he? 20? 22?
25.
25. Okay, 25.
But only six pro fights now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 25. That's not really developmental, to be honest. Give him another fight, and good luck, young Max.
But definitely everyone check out that Mike Heck thing that just dropped. Max Roscoff, very, very thoughtful young man, as you guys will see in the interview.
It's a good interview.
I have watched it. It is deep. He gets real deep.
Very honest.
On Robert Drysdale, but like also just like his what goes through his head like on a day-to-day basis in life. Mm-hmm. So give it a watch. It is interesting. It is super interesting. Is that a wrap?
Yeah.
I'm playing
the outro music now.
All right, we're playing the outro music now. This has been Jose. This has been the Wednesday edition of the ASA Live Chat. I'm going to Vegas tomorrow for UFC on ESPN. What is it, 12? 11? I can't honestly remember. It's all lost in my head. But I'm going to Vegas tomorrow, so we'll be back with another weigh-in show. We'll be back with another preview show. We'll have all of virtual media day that the Alexes and Damon and Mike and everyone and Casey and Esther will hold down the fort during that while I'm driving. Alex, anything you guys want to say before we sign off?
Nope.
That's what I thought.
I'll just say Jose's on that grind, guys. I hope you people at home appreciate Jose's on that grind. I think last week, you didn't do last week, but before that you were Jacksonville, Las Vegas. You are putting in the miles, my friend, and I hope people appreciate it. You are working hard. I'm getting tired of thinking about it.
Someone send me good ideas for road trip snacks.
And?
Just tweet them at me.
What should I bring on road?
What snacks should I bring on my road trip? Anyway, Casey, anything you want to say?
I just want to say Jose is only going to these fights for the free COVID testing because he's in a petri dish of disease right now in Phoenix.
Oh my God. Don't even remind me right now. My girlfriend's restaurant has been just out of control with like people not wanting to wear masks and being rude and everything. It's been out of control. But anyway, people are super rude. Like, because now in Arizona, there's a 250, you can be fined $250 for not wearing a mask at a restaurant or anything. People are still not wanting to wear a mask. But anyway,
why?
Because America. But that's Alex. That's cool, Alex. That's Casey. I don't know where you all are on my screen. I'm Jose. I'll be in Vegas this weekend. I'll see you next Wednesday, guys.
Alex, dance. Cool, Alex. He's dancing. Thank you.
Oh, well, I want to dance, but okay. I won't dance then.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.